down, motherfucker. Tattoo back, main, see the rap name, take a bath in the champagne. Wow, motherfucker.
All right. Episode 19, the fucking podcast. Tyler and Anton, what's going on, boys?
I'm taking it easy. Watch.
Yeah, good man. Yeah, I got Sharks Nights on here with the sound off, full disclosure.
Yeah, same.
And I missed the earlier game. What was anybody got some results in the earlier game?
Yeah, I saw Rent Freight Train through Boston.
Your hometown Lightning?
Yeah, I was just interested, though. It was a good game, but I can't about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed Boston's even where they are already. They were shitty like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they've turned it around quick.
So I reached out to our guy, all of us will know Josh in Detroit today, to get some picks from him. I figured we'd run down these kind of picks and then just discuss them amongst ourselves. So we'll start with the Winnipeg-Nashville series. He's got Winnipeg in 7. I tend to think Nashville's going to come out on top in that one.
Okay, I like Winnipeg. I tweeted something yesterday or whatever. I really like Winnipeg. I feel like, to me, they look like what Tampa looked like when they made their run to the finals against Chicago. Like a team that it feels like nobody saw them coming. They've got all these guys that, you know, you kind of know or you've never heard of.
Sure.
That are just doing things night in, night out, and they thump, too. I really like what Winnipeg's doing. I don't get to see them much down here, so it's nice to see them, you know, every other night.
For sure. They got a little rink. I think they got the smallest rink in the league, too, so it's just loud as hell in there.
Yes, and the crowd outside is insane.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, they were, you can tell they were hockey-starved.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, any thoughts on that series?
I'm rooting for Winnipeg, but I'm skeptical that they'll get done. Like, I agree with everything Anton said, but Nashville's got the experience factor. I think might end up getting them in.
Yeah,
I'd say Nashville 7 for sure.
Yeah, so it's basically Josh and Anton versus the two of us, so we'll settle that after the series. So we'll go to the next one. He's got Pittsburgh over Washington in 7 games. I think the Caps might have him this year for the first time fucking ever.
I think that, I have to think Pittsburgh's going to beat them, but I think you're right where it kind of feels like just a little different with Washington. Ovechkin scoring a game winner last night kind of felt big. Like, it felt like that was going to be a big thing for them, the fact that he scored that goal.
I agree, and it was
I'd like to see the pass, but
that was a hell of a goal, too. That wasn't, like, some shitty goal. Like, he's hand-eye coordination to direct that into the net. Like, I know Tyler will go over to you next because you tweeted about that, basically saying if Crosby did that, the internet would be going crazy because Ovechkin did it. It just went under the radar.
100%, man. I was 1,000% right. Yeah. Could not be more right. It's the realest shit ever tweeted.
I agree.
It's true, man. Like, I put up that article. I don't know if you noticed that, either one of you. Keith responded to it, but the local TSN guy here, he did the numbers on Crosby-Ovechkin head-to-head, and Ovechkin's got better numbers than Crosby, which I know doesn't count for shit, but like I told Keith, like, heard of. Some reason it seems to be like Ovechkin is always the problem. It's never actually the case.
Right.
I mean, he's always pulling his weight. He's got 8 goals in 9 games.
that's pretty absurd. Yeah.
Yeah. Playoffs, like, give me a break.
That's so fucking crazy.
I'm always cheering for the Caps, and then on the back of my mind, like, you're just kind of watching and you're just not really feeling it. But this year, I think, like you said, that goal at the game 3, I think that was pretty big. I think that'll just help them, because I think at this point now it's all mental for that team. Just get over the hump with the Penguins.
Yeah, and the Penguins, I mean, being back-to-back champs, they've played a ton of fucking hockey the last 2 years, so you gotta think, like,
yeah.
They gotta, like, I hate fatigue as an excuse, but back-to-back champs, playing that many extra games, it's gotta at least, like, build a little bit of wear and tear. So, we'll go to the...
All these fucking guys like Gensel that show up every year, like...
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
He had that helper he had on the game tire last night was ridiculous. It was like a roller hockey dangle. It was fucking ridiculous, bro. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, bring you off your coach stuff.
Right. I just want the Oilers to sign a scrub. Turns out that good one time.
Instead of like,
that should only happen with like the teams you hate. It's like teams that you hate can just pick up guys and turn them into superstars, but it never worked out with your team.
Right. When it's your team, you sign the guy to like a 4.5 mil a season contract and he ends up being a healthy scratch, like 42 games.
Or you sign a third goalie from the KHL for 2.5.
Oh, yeah. Boom. Yeah, sounds like something my team did. All right. So we'll hop to the game that I currently have on. Looks like it's still a pretty tight game here. Vegas, San Jose. I mean, is anybody betting against the Knights at this point?
I'm not. I stopped. I was this whole time. I thought for sure. I was like, they're just having a good run for the regular season, and then the big horse is going to come out and squash them for sure. I thought for sure the Kings are going to take them out. But now that I've actually been able to watch them, because I haven't actually watched them, I've just been paying attention to the record and stuff.
Sure.
And now that I'm watching them, like, you can see why they're doing good. They play quick and just annoying, and they just chuck shit on net, and they're just like a bunch of little fucking, I don't know even what to call it, but.
Yeah.
They're just quick and annoying. Like, if I was playing against them, it's just annoying. That's like the best way I can describe it.
For sure. Anton, what do you think of them?
Yeah, I was the same way as Tyler with Vegas. I thought it was a nice story, but I didn't think once the playoffs started, I thought they'd, you know, get housed by the Kings in 5 or 6 and that would be the end of it.
Sure.
But after watching them run through the Kings, I'm a believer. They'll get bounced when they run into somebody that can handle them. Or the other thing is, a lot of it relies on Fleury right now. He's playing. He looks like his old self from like 2008-09.
Yeah.
If he turns back into the guy we know from the past few years, then this run ends. If he keeps this up, then maybe he carries them through to the final. You never know.
Yeah, for sure. I noticed actually in Game 3 there when they won, and he made a huge stop. They kind of zoomed in on him, and he just had this huge kind of just relaxed grin on his face. So I think Fleury's playing as loose as he's ever played, and it shows. Because I remember in Pittsburgh, he would have shaky times, but he looks like the relaxed veteran with a fistful of rings now. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. He made a play like that in the first round. He made a play like that in Game 2 or 3, the overtime game against the Kings, where it's a huge save and, a whistle, and he flipped up his mask, and he looked like a guy who's like mowing his lawn or something.
Yeah.
Did not think this guy was in a pressure cooker.
Yeah, for sure. And I've noticed the coach Gerard Gallant, he's like laughing and joking around on the bench too, which I don't even ever remember seeing another playoff coach doing. So it's like, I think part of their success is just the loose, like, they're playing with house money since January. Like, they had as many wins by January as anybody would have expected them to have. So they're just kind of on a free ride right now, and it just seems to keep going. Although San Jose's beating them 2-0 as we speak, but that would only tie the series anyway.
Yeah, I think they'll get through. But no, I agree with you. That's a good point that they kind of are playing with house money. They're on a run that nobody expected. So just, whenever it ends, but enjoy it while we're on it.
Yeah, and nobody's going to be like, oh, you guys failed, right? Like, they've already kind of vastly exceeded what anybody expected out of them, so.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Anton, we're going to go to you first on this, as it is your home and current home. Tampa, Boston, we got Josh picking Tampa in 6. I mean, I could see it even being shorter than that. I think maybe Tampa in 5. And, I just really like what Tampa's doing, and I think Boston's kind of where they're supposed to be. This is where they're supposed to go out.
Yeah, I agree. I think Tampa in 6, maybe it gets to 7. But yeah, especially with the way Tampa won tonight, really, gives me confidence in making that pick, because Tampa really controlled the game tonight. They went up early.
Right.
They were up 3-1 at the end of the first, and the whole second period just grinded and skated, and then the whole third period for like the first 6 minutes, maybe, there wasn't even a whistle.
Yeah.
Like, it just, they just, chipped it in, grind it down, change up. Chip it in, grind down, change up. Like,
Sure.
That fundamental shit that the Devils did to Rocky a cup, And they looked like that tonight, just like a team on a mission.
Yeah.
And, I think they can ride that out. I think they end up winning that one.
Who do you like in that one, Tyler?
Same thing. I think that, Boston, they're more of a one-line team than I think people realize.
Yeah.
And when that one line, obviously, they'll kill you. But, Tampa Bay is way deeper. They got all the pieces that they need. I think Boston's got a good team.
team, but I think they probably still need a couple years for some of that depth to kick in, because Tampa Bay, yeah, like, they got multiple forwards that'll show up on different nights, and Boston doesn't have that at all right now, so.
Yeah.
Like, if Bonzon even get a point tonight again, or is that, because I noticed they were showing the numbers yesterday that every game Boston lost, that line had 0 points, and then the other, like, five games they won, that line has, like, I don't know, 40 points or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that's wild. But
the only goal tonight was the power play. Bergeron scored it, but it was basically a broken play. He chucked it in.
Yeah. And full disclosure, I fucking hate the Bruins since 2011. I haven't gotten over that yet, so I'm pretty much gonna trash them any chance we get here.
Yeah, I don't trust Rask that much either, to be honest. But
yeah, that's fair. I mean,
that's true.
No playoff success, really.
When he's shaky, he's as shaky as any goalie in the league. He can look as bad as anybody. Like,
yeah.
He's good, don't get me wrong, but when he's off, he is off.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree. Oh, San Jose just scored again, 3-0. Logan Couture.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. So Josh here. Oh yeah, that's probably gonna go 7, that one. I like Vegas to take it still. So our guy Josh.
Yeah, that's a fun series though.
Oh man, yeah, it's pretty much every game I've watched that Vegas has been in has been some of the best hockey I've seen in years. To be honest,
they've been good games. I think most people probably had LA winning that series, and most people probably had the Ducks beating the Sharks. So
yeah.
For a series that we're all 5-6, this is just good hockey, good four hockey. This is awesome.
Right.
You know, regardless of who wins, this is a great series.
Quick digression there. Do you guys, and I think Tyler and I quickly talked about this in New York when we were just walking down Manhattan streets. I think the Ducks window officially slammed shut. Anton, what do you think about that?
I'd have to agree. I aggressively slammed shut with getting swept. I think everybody realized that at the same time.
Yeah.
From that front office down to the locker room down to the fans.
Sure.
You know, they're not. I mean, it's not the same team that it was even a couple years back. You know, when they still had Maroon and they were just so big and scrappy and they willed pucks into the net late in games. That's gone. You know,
well, that style is getting phased out. Even.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
It's all speed now.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They're not fast at all. They've got a couple nice young guys, but not as much as most teams. You know, most teams have a nice young foundation. I don't think the Ducks have more than 4 or 5 guys under 25 that I, you know, trust to build on.
They've got some heavy contracts hanging around too, like Getzlaf Perry and Kessler, I think, are all around hovering around $8 million a season, so and for years to come. And so it kind of reminds me of the Canucks in 2013 when they were still trying to hold on to the 2011 core that made it to the finals, and then you just aged out and suddenly the cupboard was empty and now we're 5 years running shitty team, right? Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, that's the life cycle of sports, right?
Yeah. That's the thing, when it happens sometimes it does happen like this too, hard and fast, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they could easily miss the playoffs for 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this happened to at least one team in every sport each year. Where the window just slammed shut quicker than we expected.
That's a good call. It should almost be an annual show of teams whose windows have shut down. We should do a segment. Each sport, this team's window's closed, this team's window's closed. So Josh in Detroit, East and West final picks to win were Tampa in 7 over Pittsburgh, Winnipeg in 7 over Vegas, tight. I don't know. So then he's got Tampa taking a cup over Penguins in 6. Any thoughts on that? We'll go Tyler first.
Yeah, I don't like it because the Penguins in the finals.
Yeah, fair enough. So you like Washington to win it all?
Caps over the Lightning in 7.
Caps over Lightning. All right. And then who do you like for the cup final?
Well, I got the Caps. I would say, I don't know, it's got to be Nashville.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think they're going to get there again.
Nobody's picking them, so it easily could be them. Anton, what do you think? East and West final and final prediction?
I like Tampa over whoever comes out of the Washington-Pittsburgh series.
Yeah.
I'm, my thought process there is, it's Washington. I think they're just almost so happy to be there, you know, to clear the Pittsburgh hurdle, that, you know, Tampa just catches them sleeping maybe in a couple games and wins that in six.
Right.
God, the West. I mean, honestly, right now I want to say Winnipeg. And I know it's nuts. I even don't trust myself, because I think, like you guys, that Nashville has the pedigree. They've been there. You know, last year they won the West.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something about Winnipeg I really like. And until they lose, I can't pick against them.
All right, I like it.
You know, although they could lose to Vegas in the conference finals. You know, if Vegas gets through, maybe they get all the way to the cup.
Can you imagine if Vegas wins a fucking cup? Jesus. I'm a 40-year suffering Canuck fan. I have zero Stanley Cups, and they're going to fucking come waltzing in the league and win a goddamn cup. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like the Avalanche situation, but even crazier.
Yeah, it is a lot like that.
You know, because the Avalanche, at least, were just a team that moved. You know, good teams tend to, like, even the Ravens, I think, after moving from Cleveland, won a Super Bowl fairly quick.
But yeah.
First year, that's fucking insane.
For sure.
The fact that they could do it as an expansion team, that's, you know, I think that's a tribute to how bad most GMs in the NHL are. Cause they all just tried to push out their bad contracts without thinking, like, oh, maybe they'll take all of them, which is exactly what they did.
That's a great point.
Up a team because they had freedom to do it.
Well, I think, there's. I don't think there's any doubt that McPhee and Gallant should both win, like, executive and coach of the year, right? Like, how do they not?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that actually has a lot of draft picks, too.
Yeah, they still got a bunch of first-rounders hoarded, too, yeah.
Yeah, like, they had all those end-of-the-table deals, so I think Seattle's definitely not going to be this good. I think teams are just going to, like, go with some guys and then they screw it.
Yeah, unfortunately for them, yeah. Now the secret's out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
got Buddy Gallant. He totally got trashed by Florida, too. So, I mean, this is the whole family of bitter misfits that are just working together perfectly.
Yeah, that's true. Like, when he got fired in Florida, like, almost everybody, every talking head around the league was like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you firing this guy?
Fired him on the road, and they dropped him off in a cab. Didn't even get him, like, a fucking limo or anything.
And they were a decent team at that point, and then that Tom Rowe guy took over, and they just sunk. And then, so, like, they re-shook up the office 6 months later. Like, it sounds like you guys are running a real tight ship down there.
Well, yeah. It was stupid. That was one of the dumbest firings. They were missing half their good players to start the year.
Yeah.
Like, I can't which ones in particular, but Barkov wasn't in, and then their other main guy. And it's like, and then that other idiot that was the manager, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it the manager that went down to coach again?
Yeah.
He was, like, being masked and coach?
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Coach slash, yeah, like, he was like,
yeah,
this is
total hero move. And then
I remember that.
Yeah,
that did not work. That was dumb.
Total disaster.
Yeah, that's just a brutal team, brutal ownership. I remember that run to the finals. Matter of fact, the when the Avalanche won,
Johnny Van Beesbrook,
yeah. And but since then, it's just been downhill. And actually, you know, it's funny too, that Panthers team is a lot like fucking this Vegas team, a lot of cast offs.
That's a good point.
Ended up in a place.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny now that I think. I probably haven't thought about that team in, you know,
that's
10 years.
That's probably the closest correlation to the Knights that you're right. I didn't even think about that. Because they were a really young team at that point.
Yeah, well, and they had, like, Van Beesbrook was known, but it wasn't like he was known because he was a Panther, and he wasn't known for being, like, a champ. Like, he was a goalie who'd get you to the playoffs, but always fell somewhere. But, you know, he just had that one run.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Panthers that year was great.
For sure. So, switch.
Quick aside, if I can, since you guys are both, you know, probably as deep in hockey as me, you remember that, I think it was that playoff year, Van Beesbrook broke his goalie stick, but he held on to the stick part, you know, the top end.
Yeah.
And made a save with the piece of stick. I think it was the Rangers. Somebody was going nuts because he didn't drop his stick, and we all found out that a goalie doesn't have to.
I recall the event, but I can't visualize the save itself that he made. But I do remember that happening, yeah.
It was, like, on his knees, and, yeah, it was just, like, a shot going low to his five. It wasn't hard or nothing, but, like, he stopped it with the stick, then covered it.
Yeah.
And I think it was the Rangers. I just remember somebody going nuts, and the announcer, like, clarifying the rule, whoever it was, Tang or Clement, one of them.
Oh, yeah. Fucking 90s. 90s had some serious controversy in those finals.
Oh, yeah. the in the crease rule year, the Brett Hall goal.
That's right.
I'll never forget that fucking fiasco.
Infamous, man. Like, the whole, everything decided on that. That was wild.
Yeah, sit there for a half hour wondering if they're going to overturn the goal. That sucked. That's going to happen this year. Something like what happened the other night with the goalie. Matter of fact, Vegas and the Sharks, where they called the goal back in overtime because of interference.
Yeah.
And it kept going, and the Sharks ended up winning.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that's going to happen in the finals this year.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, for sure.
Whenever the NHL can get a black eye, it does a good job of leading and cheating.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so we're going to switch gears here. Tyler and I are going to recap our New York City Team Canada invasion, Anton. And as we kind of go through it, because we were both there, if you think of anything we're glossing over, any questions about it, you just want to hop on in or comment anything you want, just kind of jump along with us. All right. And yeah, Ty, if you want to just kind of kick off how this came together.
I don't know if we didn't talk about this at all before, with Anton, but yeah, so I was there, what was that, January now? Yeah, January there, and then I popped by and visited Smack Man at the studio. Hung out with him for an hour, and yeah, it was a good time. And then ended up meeting a gal there, which I don't know if we talked about that last time with Anton or not, but I've been keeping in touch with her. Went back, this would be the second time I was going back, so me and Matt were kind of keeping in touch. Let Matt know I was going to be going back there that weekend, see what he's up to. He's on holidays, said, fuck it, I'll meet you there, we'll go have a party. And then, yeah, we started the plan with the Smack Man, and I don't know if we haven't talked about this on Blitzscope or anything, but for anybody who's out there, Rich is probably one of the nicest people you could ever meet, and he's like super generous with his time, and like couldn't be nicer and more polite to have us around and show us around. So
100%.
I don't know, Matt, you want to touch on that at all? But
yeah, absolutely great guy. Couldn't have been more gracious and humble about everything, and just like literally went above and beyond. And then introducing us to Tiki Barber and, you know, his co-host on Tierney. That was pretty awesome. And just leading us around the studios, it was definitely appreciated.
That's pretty cool. That's cool to hear. He seems like a good guy. He engages on Twitter with clones and everything. I know when Lef used him in the Smack Off, he was, like, ecstatic to be a part of it.
Yeah, we chatted about that with him. He's really enjoying being a character on the show. Cool. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell he does.
Yeah, for anybody else too,
it's
like
very cool.
Yeah, he does a lot of those updates throughout the day. He does like 30 of them or something. Like he's actually always moving. Even when we're there with him, like he's kind of visiting shows around, and he's got to go. He's flying between two different studios doing his updates and getting stuff ready for the commercials and all this stuff. So. I know Brad and Corona hammers him for working about 3 minutes a day, but he's actually giving her for a good chunk of the whole day. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool though.
Yeah, definitely.
Good time, yeah. And then I don't know. I guess that we went to the bar after we met Rich. Yeah, because Rich was busy till like 1 or 2 or whatever. So then me and Matt went over to that bar, which is too loud to make the call. I don't know about you, Matt, but I was when we walked over to that whatever building that was to get some quiet space. Phone.
Some weird government guard. Building.
Yeah, they weren't very cool with me just loitering around that lobby.
They had a hard eye on both of us, there's no doubt.
I was, when I first called Hawk, I kind of was just leaning over on this empty, like, I don't know, front desk kind of thing. And the guy just came over in his suit, he's like, you can't be standing there.
Yeah, I actually saw that happen.
And I'm just like, I wanted to go outside, but it was windy, so I didn't know if it was going to be making a bunch of noise. People were just looking at me like some random dude in plaid in a building full of suits.
Yeah.
wearing headphones in the corner like a creep.
Yeah.
You know what, actually, if I listen to the call back, I don't know, I don't know if it's my phone or what, but it sounded like shit.
Actually, when Hawk came to me on hold the second time, he's like, Tyler, then you're good to go. And then, like, I was kind of near where you were, and he's like, oh, dude, you're cutting out bad. Get outside or something. So that's when I went outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably should have done that.
But, I mean, we're, in fairness, we're in downtown fucking Manhattan. There's not a lot of quiet spots.
No. Not that pub where I was.
Yeah, and you're doing it on the fly. You're not setting up in a studio or anything like that. You
know, yeah.
Just grab the phone and just.
Yeah.
There's a high degree of difficulty to stick that landing.
We got back into the bar after making our calls. The bartender is like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?"
She was kind of, I think, just like, we showed up with our bags and just kind of just randomly there with headphones on, kind of listening to the show, and then like leaving the place, coming back, and then. But she knew about the show pretty good, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Once we explained what was going on, she put it on the TV.
A lot of that daytime of her, I didn't realize until, like, when I got home time, because I didn't really sleep that night. Like, I was just, I don't know, man. I was in zombie land that whole day.
Yeah, it was a pretty surreal day, man. Like, between that and then, like, obviously, we take care of our Jim Rome show business. I think it went pretty decently, at least. It was a lot of fun. And then we got a few in us. Then we got the tour of CBS Studios, met Rich and Tiki and those guys, and then we were just kind of like thinking we're packing it in, and we had like a whole nother fucking evening about to unfold with Mr. Ty Domi. Why don't you kind of recap how that went down?
We were just kind of walking aimlessly from what I remember, just looking for a spot that
correct
looked like a spot to grab a beer or whatever and figure the day out, and then some Soho cigar bar, sit down, and it was not very busy at all. It was probably 3 o'clock at that point, so we were getting it pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty cool place, actually. I liked how it was like all kind of red and black, just the way they had it lit. Like, it was just kind of that dungeony typical cigar bar look. And actually, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember that kid that was sitting there? Anton, there was this, if you could picture, like, this bar was, like, you order cigar first, drink second, food third. It was one of those places, like, it just, like, reeked of smoke, and it was just, like, thick, smoky. You go there to smoke cigars, right? And so if you could picture this kid, he's obviously an adult, but he looks like he's 12. He's older than 12. He's sitting by himself. He's wearing a full suit. And he's probably like 120 pounds with his legs crossed. Like, it was as if this kid, like, he's seen The Sopranos or something, and then he decided that he was going to be a cigar bar enthusiast and just go hang by himself and smoke cigars.
Fucking 100%.
He looks like he's 12.
Yeah, I guarantee you that's exactly it. He saw some show or some movie where some guy that he just idolizes was behaving like that, and he's like, oh, I can't wait till I can do that. Now he's just living his dream, probably wearing like a fucking $80 suit.
Wait, like, the suit was like 10 sizes too big. Fuck, that was funny. I wish I got a picture of that kid.
Oh, man. I honestly, even my mental picture's fading, but I do remember laughing on the way to the table. Just like, to be that kind of, that fresh in the game again, thinking he's the man, that guy's having the time of his life.
Oh, yeah. He thought he was the fucking man, that kid. Awesome. And you know what I thought of?
Oh, got a picture of this kid.
Oh, dude, it's too good. Like,
definitely should have got a picture of this kid. He sounds like the kid from Blank Check or something.
That's pretty much it, man. He fit the bill pretty good. And he wasn't kidding around. He had a fucking huge stogie with him. Like, he was a cigar aficionado, that guy.
Yeah, man, if it wasn't for Ty Domi, we almost would have had to go sit with him and, like, been like, what the fuck is your story, homie?
Tell me about you now.
Start when you were 11 years old to right now. Tell me everything.
Yeah. But, thinking that, it was kind of funny because when we got there, we were actually going to sit down somewhere else. Like, we could have actually went there and not even seen Ty Domi. But my fucking shitty phone and Matt's phone too, probably, like, my phone lasts about like 2 hours, and it's on. I don't even know if it's a 4. It's fucking old. It's doing the iPhone death where, like, it's freezing all the time. The battery lasts about 3 hours. It's doing that whole act. So, like, my phone is already and we needed to sit somewhere where we could plug it in. Like, I was that fucking loser. So I asked the guy where there's a plug in by one of the booths. And it was like the one booth in the back had a plug. So that's where we ended up sitting. And I went and took a piss. And I came back out. And then Matt looked at me. He's like, fucking Ty Domi sitting right there beside us.
shit. And just kind of fucking said hi. Just gave me the quick rundown. I'm from Canada. I'm a big fan. And I think you said your dad's a big fan, right, Pat?
Yeah. East Coast guy. Yeah. Loves Toronto.
So he just, yeah, he's pretty cool. Said hi, and then we basically just left him alone. I would say probably, I don't know, maybe an hour went by, and then he kind of just slowly started conversation with us, and then I went and took another piss. And I came back out, it was like every time I fucking went to the bathroom, Matt in Vancouver's just scheming me while I'm gone here. I come back out, Matt's practically sitting on Ty's lap. Ty invited him over, they're just having a fucking jolly old time. I'm like, oh, I guess we're hanging out with Ty Domi for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I remember nodding at you and just like, yeah, come sit down, man, this is happening right now. Yeah, well, what happened was, and from my perspective, is you got up to take a piss, and then I was just kind of sitting there by myself, right? So it's like, they're like sitting facing me, so there's kind of this weirdness. And then he's just like, hey, where in Canada are you from? I'm like, I'm Vancouver, he's Edmonton. And he's like, get the fuck over here. I'm like, all right. And then, yeah, we ended up sitting with him for some hours, I think.
So what kind of stories you get out of him? Give us at least one good one that you got out of him.
Well, the best ones we were sworn to never tell again.
He almost did it every time. He would keep grabbing his phone. He'd flip his phone and be like, off the record, and be like, off the record, Dick. All right, I'll tell you this one.
Yeah.
And then he would tell us a story.
He learned via my Twitter account, because he was he followed both Tyler and I. He learned that about the podcast. So I don't think he would listen, but I don't want to go resetting stories. I swore I wouldn't. But I will say this. One of them, my favorite one, involved Marty Brodeur. And if Marty Brodeur isn't your favorite goalie right now, he should be. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good time. So, but, I don't know.
Fair enough.
The Twitter stuff. And then once, because we didn't even really talk about the Rome stuff for a little bit, and then when we kind of got into that, and then he was all about it. He actually seemed pretty keen on that, and then he jumped on Twitter, messaged at Rome, and then, I think that's how it went. He tweeted something at Rome.
Yeah.
And then Rome was, and then people started jumping in, and then all of a sudden, Ty went from, like, telling story mode, just having a good time, to, like, fight mode. Like, he was on his phone, he's like, should I fucking tweet at this guy or what? And then Matt kind of gives him the lowdown on YouTube. Yeah. He's like, hey, Matt, who the fuck is this guy? Should I fucking get at him? And we're like, no, don't worry about that guy. And then he kind of got into it with a couple people. And it was funny, because he would be just focusing on his phone, just prepping this massive tweet, and then he'd kind of look up at us and just start laughing. He's just like a little kid again.
Oh, man, that was fucking awesome. The only guy I told him to have at was Victor. Vic and NoCal, because Vic tweeted at Ty. He's just like, I once beat up Ty in a San Jose bar, and Ty just wrote back, bullshit. And then he leaned over, and he's like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm like, he's just a fucking guy who thinks he's a lot cooler than he really is.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's funny. Yeah, Ty Domi dipping his toe into jungle Twitter is pretty epic. That's fucking hilarious.
And for the record, we ended up staying longer and drinking with Ty's buddy, who was kind of more Max Domi's age than Ty's age, and a couple other guys who showed up. But when Ty left, he picked up our tab to that point, which is pretty badass too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course. Yep. Oh, God. Yeah, his wife was coming to get him because they were going for dinner, so he called her up and said, bring me a couple bucks. And she came into the bar, gave him the books, and then basically just took off, because that probably wasn't her spot.
Hated the smoke, then, yeah.
Yeah, plus it reeked like smoke. And then, yeah, he signed the books and shit. That was pretty cool. I mean, he went way above and beyond what he had to do for a couple schmucks like us.
Yeah, man. It was pretty fucking cool, I gotta say. I had a great time. Not to mention the double gin and tonics were flowing down nicely, too.
Yeah. We ended up staying there pretty late.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we got back to the hotel, my hotel, till around midnight, and then you carried on even further.
Yeah. Well, that was a huge mistake, carrying our bags, and they're like, all my shit just reeked like cigar.
That's a good point. I meant to mention that. All I did was, because obviously we were pretty drunk when I got back to the hotel, so I like took off the shirt that I was wearing and just like threw it on top of my luggage, which was like open on the floor. And then, like, in the morning, I woke up and the whole fucking room reeks like cigar smoke. And then it's just like my shirt has just saturated, like, my whole fucking bag. It's crazy.
So
it was legit bad, too. Like, it fucking sits in there.
Yeah, you should have just took those clothes off out front and never came back for them. They're gone.
Well, it's like a dead body smell.
The problem was I had to put my bag because I was overnight. So I didn't, like, basically, I got there and then I met Matt basically. Right near the CBS studios.
Yeah, for the record, so, we had never met before at this point either.
So all my shit, all my clothes inside the bag, like everything just dunk. Like, you know, you go to a fire, like you go have a fire in the backyard or whatever, if the smoke's blowing on you all night, like you're gonna reek.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, yeah. That's pretty much like, oh yeah, smell like cigar. By the time we left, it was probably 11. And this place was full, and every single table, people were just, like, it must have been a pretty, like, I don't want to say famous, but a pretty well-known place just to fucking go smoke cigars, because, like, every single table, like, girls, guys, everybody smoked cigars.
Yeah.
And you could barely see it if you walked in there from the street.
Yeah.
Damn. Heavy. Must have been the spot.
Yeah, man. You a cigar guy, Anton?
I am not. I do not, I do not dig cigars.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm down
like
to
cigarellas.
Yeah, fair enough. I gave those up, but I still like a nice big fat Cuban on the golf course a couple times a year.
Not bad, but that's yeah. Yeah, I haven't smoked a Cuban in like 3 or 4 years.
No, yeah.
I mean, I probably would if one in front of me, but I'm not going to go out of my way looking for one.
So, Anton, I know you're in a relationship. And I don't want to get you in any trouble, but Tyler and I are going to discuss briefly here a couple Tinder experiences we've had, and I don't know if you've ever dabbled in that that world. You have any experience?
I'm aware of it, but no, I don't. I have no idea. I mean, I know what Tinder does and what, but no.
That'll actually probably work for the discussion because you can chime in and make fun of us for living like 17-year-old boys.
My couple points on Twitter, but I think Anton could probably jump in. It's more of like a societal thing, I think, what I was going to dabble in. But
I agree. Yeah, like it's a microcosm of the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And like,
Fair enough.
You can like set the age range and shit. It's like this weird like filtering process. And I'm fucking brand new to it again, so it's like... I'm seeing these like women in their mid-30s who are just like, they have this online profile and it's just a bunch of fuck. It's basically just a diatribe of like what she's not gonna put up with, like, in all capital letters. It'll be like no more lies and all this stuff. You're like, Jesus Christ, this is fucking all that's left out here. But then occasionally you come by some actually cool ass chicks. But you gotta filter through some of the absolute weirdest people. Ever.
Yeah, it's there's a couple of people like that, the Facebook heroes, yeah. And then there's the I don't know what you call these girls, but there'll be Anton. What do you think about this? There'll be girls who will go on there. Like, I'm not on Tinder anymore, but when I was, there'd be usually the ones that were pretty decent looking. They would have no info about themselves or anything. All they'd have is like their Instagram handle. So like they pretty much go on there for all these thirsty creeps. Just to find their picture and follow them on Instagram and then probably try and message them from there, which they probably ignore.
It's, yeah. Any thoughts on that, Anton?
Yeah, that's everything, all the time, it's the Instagram handle. Yeah, that's the new thing. Same with us. You ever get the things on Twitter and shit where I just block them when I get them on Twitter, but, I'll try to follow you, and I'll say, like, subscribe to my Instagram, or subscribe to my private Snapchat.
Ugh.
You're just trying to get dudes to pay money to look at girls take their clothes off.
No
like,
kidding,
I don't get how that's an industry.
So
you can watch that anywhere on the internet for free. You can watch that shit on HBO for free.
100%.
Yep.
Which is why I generally assume that shit's like a fucking virus or something.
I don't get it. Power to them if girls are really making good money doing that, God bless them. And if guys are really paying good money for it, hopefully someone keeps hitting them in the head with the hammer so the girls can keep making money.
Yeah, for sure.
It's weird industry.
Another trend I've noticed as you're flipping through the pictures is women are often putting themselves or pictures of themselves shooting either pistols or assault rifles. Occasionally a shotgun, but more often pistols or assault rifles. And I'm like, you know, I got no problem with the act itself, but like on a dating profile, is that like some sort of a message you're sending? Are you trying to appear like rugged and outdoorsy with that? Because it's not good looking. You know, I don't know. Wearing the biggest earmuffs and like squinting as you fire a weapon. I don't know.
They're just projecting a false image of a fun badass chick.
Yeah, that's probably fair. And like, there's a lot of them out here in the West Coast now too. They're like holding up pictures of themselves when they're like fishing, and they're like holding up this giant fish, and they're like wearing these like slicks and a fucking life jacket. And you're like, oh, is that really the best picture for this situation?
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's the classic chick who's only takes pictures from certain angles to avoid any kind of body shot because we all know it's a disaster.
Yeah. Oh, that's don't you?
Yeah, classic.
Yeah, that's an old trick.
Yeah.
The new version of that is the Snapchat filters where there'll be like one picture and then there's four pictures of them with fucking bunny ears and like dog noses and shit. It's just like, Jesus. You're fucking 25 or 28 or 30. Like, this should be entertaining for a 6-year-old at most.
Is that Snapchat filters? I've seen those pictures. I didn't know what the fuck that was, though, to be honest.
That's an automatic no.
For sure it is, man. That's like, that's childish shit. And like you say, if that's like the late 20s and they're doing that, they're either covering something up or they fucking got a screw loose.
What
would you say, Ty, is like a huge red flag on some chick's profile that would otherwise seem normal? I know, I put you on the spot with that one.
It's kind of put me on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, I admit that. But I think it'll produce something.
Okay. Something there. Think.
Yeah, well, I'll say, I think when the profession is listed as single mom, that's generally a bit of a flag to me.
Single mom?
Yeah, like as profession. I don't mind if it's a single mom, but don't put that your profession is single mom.
Yeah, that's just saying unemployed, basically. Yeah.
By the federal government. Yeah.
Collecting
a check. Yeah.
I know there's
I always think major red flags there are always the hashtag #A1 or hashtag #A2. That means that person's got an agenda, and they're just going to speak at you, not talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hashtags in general.
That goes beyond dating profiles. That's basically in any profile.
That's a good point.
And you identify yourself by your beliefs right up front. You're probably some type of weirdo.
That's fair. Yeah. So you're saying you've never subscribed to Christian Mingle, Anton? Farmers Only? You know that one? Tyler?
Oh, God, yeah.
I thought Tyler might have dabbled in some Farmers
Jewish
Only.
Jewish
tape, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of them. Yeah, I've been in a relationship that I've never had to play with the dating sites. Thank God.
Thank God is right, brother. It's a fucking jungle out there, let me tell you. I mean, there's some diamonds in the rough. I've met some cool girls off there, too. I haven't met a ton of people on it, and I don't use it a lot, but, like, you know, I've probably 50-50, two psychopaths and two cool-ass chicks. So, you know, that's probably par for the course.
My brother fires it up when he goes out of town, and his profile will straight up say, like, I'm here till Friday.
Well,
girls will holler at
him. Full disclosure, I may have done that when I was in New York City, and it was a great time. Hey, I'm single.
If you holler at a dude whose profile says I'm here till Friday, I mean, you know, at least you know what's going on, I guess, right?
Hey, man, it's everybody's world. Live your best life.
Oh, it's so good. That's so strong. I'm here till Friday.
Yeah. And then, in fact, when you're abroad, a little Canadian flag throws a little flavor in, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta let them know what's
spice. Yeah.
Nice,
what's that, Ty?
Now they see the Canadian flag and they say, oh, he's friendly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we carry our reputation.
Yeah, out of town syndrome. God, that's unbelievable. Yeah, my brother does that shit. It's too funny. I love it.
How old's your brother?
29.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. He's right in his fucking prime. Prime of Tinder.
Yeah. He's been single for like, I don't know, under a year, like six, maybe about a year now. I don't know. But yeah, he does what they call power swiping, where he just fires his thumb to the right and, you know, doesn't even look at the picture.
Got
as matches anywhere as possible.
My buddy uses that exact tactic. In fact, he got quite upset with me that I wasn't using every swipe I could. Right.
I think it's hilarious. It's like a video game.
Oh, fuck.
He's just like, yeah, I gotta cast a wide net, you know? It's like an old video game where you get like a fighting match and it's just whoever can push A fastest wins.
Yeah. Like an old Super Nintendo, you just slam the one button over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. That's disgusting.
All right, boys. Well, I think we'll call that a wrap. I appreciate the minute. And go ahead and give our boy Josh in Detroit a shout-out for those picks. Appreciate that, Josh. Check out his website, hockeynightwithjoso.com. Sorry, go ahead, Anton.
Oh, that was Josh.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, Josh is a loyal listener of the show. We're happy to get him involved.
I want to
Josh is a good guy.
Josh got to work on his crossovers. You got to use his inside foot a little more, push off his inside foot a little more. Generate a lot more speed on his videos.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. A little skating advice for Tyler. All right, Josh, appreciate the picks. Everybody listening, check out his website, hockeynightwithjoso.com. He's got giveaways, all kinds of great shit that I don't have. And all right, thanks, boys. We'll touch base soon.
Be in touch. Take care.
All right, war smack off season.
All right, bye.
Later, boys.
Yeah, all right, boys, be good. Trust the process.
Trust the process. I grew up on the rhyme side, that gotta get mine side. That white girl, we mix it with quinine. You play a shine ball from the sidelines while I'm aging like fine wine. You in there thugging somebody's timeline. Between love and hate is a fine line. And these habitual line steppers can die trying. A New York Islander, my clicks and wide giants. A pocket full of and wide nicks for my clients. Y'all ain't buying, so stop crying and stop flying. Hakuna Matata, no Mufasa, I'm not lying. We try to spit on that hot iron, you're not.